Praise God, you're very welcome tonight. You're visiting with us, you're heartily welcome. We just love Jesus Christ here. That's our desire and our longing. That's our one desire, is just to love Him. Please turn with me to Proverbs. We just started last week this series on the Proverbs that were given in the Bible, dealing with the wisdom for the wise, wisdom for the wise. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're dealing with wisdom for the wise. Last week we dealt with the wisdom of Solomon. If you want to see and understand wisdom, look to the man Solomon. That man, like no other man, was the embodiment of wisdom in the Bible. If you want to see what it is to get wisdom, if you want to see what it is to receive wisdom, if you want to understand how to apply wisdom, look to that man, Solomon. All through the Bible, you have outstanding men who are marked either by the faith of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. But if you're looking for wisdom, this man, Solomon, embodied it, revealed it, and emphasized it to us. Let's read from Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, if, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word. Even tonight, Lord God, we do cry out for your word, your truth, even the light of your scriptures, and even the shine in this room tonight. Father, we're asking that you by your truth would bring forth, Lord God, even unto us knowledge and understanding and wisdom. We're asking, we're crying now to you tonight, Lord God, only you can give true knowledge, and only you can give understanding of mind, only you, nor God, can give wisdom unto our hearts. And Father, we want to be here gathered in the fear of the Lord. If there's one thing we desire in our heart tonight, it's to stand before you in the fear of the Lord. We do want to tremble, not your word. We want to tremble before you as a holy and a righteous God. And even tonight, Lord God, we want to pursue after knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in the fear of the Lord. Surely those who fear you, Lord God, you said that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that it is the beginning of understanding. And surely, O God, will you not reveal unto us through your word, by your grace and your mercy, bless your word to us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. We've seen already last week that the Proverbs are very compact statements. Condensed into them is the truth of God concerning life and salvation, and the consequence of rejecting them. In these Proverbs, as we read chapter by chapter, we have condensed statements, usually in couplets, and those two statements placed together bring a truth to your heart. It is condensed truth. The parables are expanded truth. All the parables are that Jesus gave are the Proverbs expanded on. But what the Proverbs are condensed parables. They are truth condensed down into a statement or a word or a simple truth that you can understand. And that's what we find in the Proverbs. When we come to the Proverbs, they are saturated, absolutely condensed with truth. If you begin to read the Proverbs, every sentence is absolutely compacted with truth. You could spend a day on half a verse in Proverbs, and it's life-changing. It impacts your life. But that's what they are. Now, as we come here tonight, I want to deal with a certain aspect. As we're dealing with this series on wisdom for the wise, who does God give wisdom to? The wise men. Those who are already wise. Those who don't have, he takes away from you. But those who have, he gives more unto. That's what the Bible says. But tonight I want to deal with knowledge, understanding and wisdom. In the verses that we've just read here, it uses these three words. And all throughout the Proverbs, we find these three words used. Knowledge, understanding and wisdom. We see that these three words are very distinct. And I want to explain to you just in these few moments the difference between these three words. If you're going to understand the Proverbs, you must understand what knowledge is and what understanding is and wisdom. You can't just merge all these things in together in some blear of a mirage. They mean something. God is very precise in the words that he's inspired and given in these books. It is very distinct what they mean. Each of these three words, they are different. They're not the same. Understanding is not the same as knowledge. They are utterly different. They are distinct. They are separated. That's why they're distinct words. They mean something unique in themselves. And even as we go to this, could you define tonight what understanding is? Our knowledge, our wisdom, do you know the difference in them? Can you explain what they mean? Do you understand them spiritually? Because in this proverb, the Lord is actually saying you're to cry out for knowledge. You're to cry out and to seek after understanding. You're to seek after the wisdom of God. They are all three different things, but we are to pursue after them. We are to ask God for them because they all come from him. It's not academic knowledge we're after tonight. It's not a mere teaching that we're after, though all of that is a part of it. And I thank God for teaching. But it's more than that. God gives you something that's more than mere academic or religious teaching. We are to have a heart that cries out to God for these three things. Are you, and can I encourage you, are you asking God for knowledge? Are you asking him for understanding? Are you asking him for wisdom? These are three things we are to pray for and desire after. Paul writing in the New Testament in Colossians 1 and verse 9. He says, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Wonder what he was desiring. What did Paul desire for the church at Colossae? What was his great prayer? What was he desiring for them? Listen, he says, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here we see Paul using the three words. His desire for the church was that they be filled with knowledge, that they have his will in all wisdom, and that they have spiritual understanding. Now why? Why was he asking this for the church? Is it just that we have these things to adorn ourselves? That we pride ourselves in some sort of knowledge? Or that we boast ourselves in being wise? That in our own eyes that we look wise or think ourselves wise? Because the Bible warns us that a man can think himself wise yet be a fool. That his wisdom actually could be vanity and emptiness. That his knowledge could be spiritual death. He could talk about all manners of religious thing, and yet it's death, it's vanity. It is possible. Now why did Paul say that I'm praying for you and desiring that you have knowledge, wisdom, understanding? Listen to the next verse. He says that, in other words, he's going to give us the reason, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Why is it that Paul is praying that they might have knowledge, wisdom and understanding? It's that they might walk worthy of the Lord. All real knowledge, I mean God-given knowledge, will lead you into a walk with God that's pleasing unto God. Real wisdom that comes from God isn't something corrupt, it actually leads you into a holy walk with God. If someone tells me they're wise, or that they have great knowledge, but they don't live right, or don't walk right before God, then I know their knowledge, their wisdom and understanding is vanity. There's priests in this city tonight, will go out and get drunk in the next week. My Bible says that a man, a drunkard, a man who habitually gets drunk, he will go to hell. I don't care if he wears his collar back to front. I don't care what his titles are or how much of the Bible he knows. If he's not living right, his knowledge is vanity. It is dead religion. It means nothing. He might seem to have understand, but it's nothing. Now these three words, knowledge, understanding and wisdom, what do they actually mean? In Proverbs 1 verse 7, we want to begin with knowledge. What is knowledge? In Proverbs 1 verse 7, it says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, knowledge is not just an academic pursuit. Knowledge or the gaining of knowledge isn't just a matter of reading books or of intelligence. It actually comes from somewhere or comes out of something. What goes before gaining knowledge? Because he says here, the beginning of knowledge. What is the actual beginning of knowledge? What is the place of you actually beginning to gain real knowledge, eternal knowledge or spiritual knowledge? He says it's the fear of the Lord. In other words, knowledge about God or about the Bible doesn't come out of a mere academic pursuit. It actually comes out of your heart. It comes out of a heart that fears the Lord. The Bible is teaching here that if we really fear the Lord, that is the beginning of knowledge. If we really fear Him, if we stand in awe of Him, and we live in a generation that tries to make the fear of the Lord into some sort of light. Well, it doesn't really mean that, does it? That's what they teach in the churches of our days. Well, the fear of the Lord doesn't mean to actually fear Him. No, it means to fear Him. I'm not scared of Him tonight. The fear of God brings me to Him. I love Him. I do fear Him, but I love Him. And I want to tell you, the real fear of God brings you to God. A counterfeit fear keeps you away from God. A superstitious fear of God. A taught fear of God by man makes you to stand afar off from God. But the real fear of God actually brings you to God. It gives you a desire for God. It says here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's not academic knowledge it's talking about. It is a knowledge of God teaching you concerning Himself. It says in Proverbs 9 and 10, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So before we come to understand, I want you to notice this. First we have knowledge before understanding. You cannot have understanding without knowledge. If you don't have knowledge in place, you can't have understanding. Knowledge is the foundation of understanding. Understanding then comes before wisdom. They follow in a precise order. Listen again to what it says in Proverbs 9. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Or in other words, knowledge of a holy God leads you into an understanding of God. You need knowledge before you have understanding. You see, without knowledge, you cannot have understanding. Knowledge, as you attain it, leads you to understanding. And true knowledge will always lead you forward into an understanding of God. Knowledge by itself is never enough. You don't stop at knowledge. You see, knowledge without love, what would knowledge without love be like? What would it look like? You could have knowledge about God. You could have academic knowledge about God. But if you don't have love, that knowledge is dead. There's people in the church have great knowledge. They have large heads but small hearts. And I want to tell you, that's asking for a tragedy. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1, he said, knowledge puffeth up. You can have knowledge about God or knowledge about religion or knowledge about the Bible and it puffs you up. And I want to tell you, if knowledge may expand your pride, it's not true knowledge. True knowledge will never make you proud. It cannot. But listen to what he says. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. It's not charity in place of knowledge. It's charity with knowledge. When you get knowledge of God or gain in knowledge, but it comes out of a heart of love, it edifies everybody. If you have great knowledge and you're proud about it, you'll kill us all. But if you have knowledge and it comes out of a heart of love, you'll edify us all. It's very different and it's very distinct. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 13, and though I have all knowledge, can you imagine having all knowledge? What would that be like? I know everything. Paul says, and if I have all knowledge, but have not charity, or what is charity? It's love. It is not just love. Sentimental feeling. It's love in action. What's a charity shop? It's love in action. And that's why I love this. I love the word charity here. It says, though I have all knowledge and have not charity, I am nothing. I am empty. It's all in vain. If I have all knowledge, but it doesn't come out of a heart of love or out of the fear of God. It is actually empty. We're not talking about knowing everything or knowing facts. It's a greater knowledge than that. This is a knowledge that comes out of a love for God and a love for one another. That's the love I want. But also it can be a tragedy to have zeal for God without knowledge. Paul also writes in Romans 10 verse 2, for though I bear them record, speaking about the Jews, the religious people, and remember they had the same Bible as Paul. The Bible Paul had, the Jews had, the Pharisees had. But listen, he actually says, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. What's a zeal? A passion. They'll sacrifice to God. They pray to God. They read the Bible. They do many religious things. But he said their zeal, their passion, their burden, this burning desire for God, it lacks knowledge. You see, you can have knowledge without zeal. That would be dry. But you can also have a zeal for God, a religious zeal or a sacrifice and zeal, but it is actually not according to truth. It's not in line with truth. We don't want a zeal that's separated from truth. I want a zeal that's perfectly in line with the truth of God. And this keeps us safe. Both of them are a disaster when we have knowledge without a burning heart. And also zeal or a burning heart without knowledge. We need it all together. Now what is knowledge? Because knowledge comes before understanding. It must be in place in order that we gain understanding and gain wisdom. If you don't make sure knowledge is there, you can't build understanding in. It's like steps of a ladder. Three steps of a ladder. The first step is knowledge. It's got to be there before you make the next step. You can't move on to understand. But I want to understand things. I want to understand God. I want to understand His dealings in the church. I want to understand His dealings in my life. You can't without knowledge. And many Christians, they're sitting there. They love God. They believe in God. But they don't have understanding of God. Why not? Because they've never gained the knowledge and put it together in a way that's needed. What is knowledge? Knowledge is the gathering, the gaining, or the accumulation of facts. Knowledge is facts. Facts are concrete truth. It's not myth. It's not opinions. It's not ideas. It's not something mystical that you feel. Knowledge is not a feeling. Knowledge is not a sentiment. Knowledge is not a mystical experience. It's none of those things. Knowledge is concrete. It is hard. It is definite. In our schools and colleges, they've taken absolute truth out. I'm going to tell you, the Bible is absolutely dogmatic. God is dogmatic. I don't ask for opinions. I don't stand here as some advisor or counselor. I am saying this is what God says. There's no argument about what God says. Either you believe it or you reject it. Well, I don't quite believe it like that. Well, argue with God. God's truth is dogmatic. If I am a person of truth or a person of the knowledge of God, then it's going to be concrete, firm, settled. You see, there's something about facts, they never change.
Yeah.
You know, when I was going to school, 2 + 2 = 4.
Amen.
I can guarantee for you guys, when you went to school, 2 + 2 = 4. I can guarantee in a generation, they may change the morals of this nation. They may change the laws of this nation. The church may even change. But I want to show you 2 + 2 will still = 4. It is an unchangeable fact. And that's the thing about facts. It's not movable. It's not changeable. It's not mystical. It's not out there somewhere. It is definite. They're clear facts. And the Bible is filled with facts. God doesn't play mind games. God doesn't leave you in a mirage, leading you somewhere where you go, I hope it's going to turn out okay. I hope I'm living right. I hope I'm believing right. I just have to try my best and I hope the end of the journey is okay. The Bible warns us that there's many who choose a way and think they're walking in a right way, but the end of it is destruction. What a tragedy. They didn't have knowledge. They didn't have knowledge. But you see, knowledge is facts, it's details. Notice here that it's actually the gaining, gathering of knowledge. You are meant to gain knowledge. Paul in Colossians, he goes on to say concerning increasing in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God, you're to increase in it. This gaining of knowledge concerning God, you're to increase in it. You're to gather knowledge. What is true knowledge? It is the gathering of facts about God. I want to know more about Him. I need to know details about how He acts, what He believes, how He works in my life, what He desires. All of those are facts. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible constantly, insatiably. From a child, I've read the Bible, and I'm still insatiably reading it, searching it, discovering things I never seen before. I love this book. I know hidden within this book is much knowledge. Many times I read the Bible, and I went, I don't understand this. Notice, I don't understand it. I'm seeking knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm actually reading, gaining knowledge. I read in Genesis. I start finding all the facts about Adam. I start finding the facts about the fall of man. I start gaining knowledge. Knowledge will lead you to understanding.
Yeah.
I hear many new Christians, some older ones, and they're reading and they're saying, I don't understand it. Just keep gathering knowledge.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to read a book in the Bible at some point where you don't understand it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Knowledge lays the foundation for understanding.
Yeah.
Those who don't put the effort into gaining knowledge never understand the Bible. They don't understand it. Certain books are certain passages. There's certain passages I have prayed over, meditated over 10,000 times, just saying, Lord, show to me. This is knowledge, but give me understanding.
Yeah.
I desire to understand it and how it applies to me. You see, this gaining of knowledge, it comes in two main ways. It comes through reading. It does come through reading the scriptures, but I don't understand it. Should I stop? No. All you're doing is gaining. It's like a man out picking wood for a fire. Well, I don't like to pick up wood, then you won't have a fire.
Amen.
But I just want to enjoy the fire. I just want to stand in front of a burning fire and get heat and enjoy the fire. Well, you're going to have to go gather wood.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to gather the wood, sit in their living room staring at the fire. I wish a miracle would happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go out and gather wood.
Amen.
Or your wife encourage you out the door to go buy some.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to go gather the wood. in order to light the fire to enjoy it. It's the same with the things of God. Knowledge is to be pursued after. You're to pray for knowledge. It won't just mystically come to you. Knowledge, as you read the word, you're going, I'm not learning academic knowledge. I'm gathering all the facts so that I can have understanding of these things. That is my pursuit. But not only through reading, through preaching. There is an instruction. You see, to gain knowledge, you've got to have instruction. There's got to come an instruction. There's got to be a teaching. Show me a man who has no knowledge, doesn't know much of very anything. I'll show you a man who's not willing to be taught.
Yeah.
Show me someone who insatiably says, teach me. I don't know much, but will you teach me? Show me someone who's hungry to learn, who listens carefully. I'll show you a man who's growing in knowledge. He has gathered knowledge. He is gaining knowledge. That is knowledge. But knowledge isn't only an academic exercise. The word to know in the Old Testament, it's an intimate word. If you know somebody, it means great intimacy. In Genesis 4, verse 1, it says, and Adam knew. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now what's it saying? It's talking about that intimate relationship, that private relationship between a man and a wife. It's talking about the closest, most intimate relationship between two people. And what the Bible calls it is Adam knowing Eve. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful word. They knew one another. In other words, it's talking about intimate, personal, experiential knowledge. It's not a man on his wedding night looking at his wife going, very interesting. There is a knowledge, there's an intimacy. These things are pure and holy. They're sacred. But believe me, there is an intimacy. And real knowledge isn't about accumulating head knowledge. It's about an experience of truth. I don't want to learn facts. I want to know truth. Isn't that our desire? I want to experience truth. I want truth to enter into me. And I want to enter into truth. I don't want to just hear sermons. I want to live this. When I read the Bible, I just don't want to be saying, oh, it's out there somewhere. Lord, I want an experience of your truth. There is no knowledge written in this Bible that you cannot experience. If you don't believe that, then the devil's lying to you.
Yeah.
Because the knowledge is to be entered into like a private, intimate relationship. This knowledge, you're not accumulating a big head. Your heart is being expanded.
Oh, yeah.
That's what knowledge is. In Hosea 4 and 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge or treated knowledge as of no effect, I have rejected you. God is saying there's no knowledge. I believe it's a tragedy in today's church. There's so little knowledge of God, of the word of God, of the ways of God. And because of that, the church is being destroyed. You have an emphasis now on emotional, ecstatic experiences. I want to tell you there's an experience of truth.
Amen.
I believe in experience. I believe in manifestations. But I tell you, most of that is a lie and a deception. They pursue after mystical, physical experience, but they're not pursuing after a knowledge of truth.
Amen.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. Proverbs 12 verse 1, it says, whoso loveth instruction loves truth. Loves knowledge. If you love to be instructed, you love knowledge. You will gain knowledge. If you don't like being told what to do, if you don't like being taught or instructed, you're foolish. It says, and he that hateth reproof is brutish. That's knowledge. You see, it has to be there first. This is the gathering of the wood for the fire. But I don't want to just gain facts and figures. I don't want to just read the Bible, gain a knowledge. I actually want to move on beyond that. I want to have understanding of the facts. You see, you can have facts, you can have knowledge, you can even receive instruction. But you must move on to understanding. You can't stop at being taught or gaining facts or having knowledge. You want to put all the facts together. You want to put all the knowledge together in order to have understanding. We're actually told in Matthew 16, and Christ is with his disciples. And he says unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He just comes out with this statement. He has just given them a fact. He has just said something unto them. He says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And all his disciples suddenly begin talking amongst themselves. And they're saying, oh, we didn't bring any bread with us. The master is talking about, do you know, Peter, I told you we should have brought some bread. John, did you not bring any? Do you not have that wee knapsack that you have? Do you not have any? What are we going to do? We don't have any bread. Because Jesus mentioned leaven. Talking about leaven. What does Jesus say to them? O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do you not understand? See, now we're moving to understanding. What is understanding? Jesus has just given them a fact. He's just taught them. He's just told them something that's of vital importance. Here is a vital teaching. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then he says, you don't even understand what I'm saying. All you have is facts in the head. He says, don't you understand that I'm not speaking about physical bread? He says, I said unto you, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they. You see, he had explained it to them. He said, now we understand. You're not talking about bread. You're not talking about yeast and bread. You're actually talking. You're warning us about the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, these two groups were in Israel. And notice the same Bible Jesus uses, the Pharisees and the Sadducees use. They all say they believe the same Bible. And yet Jesus is warning them, his own disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's actually warning them about the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who were the Sadducees? They didn't believe in a literal resurrection. They believed in a God. They prayed in a God. They went through the ritual, but they didn't believe in God. They denied the supernatural element. They didn't believe that there's a resurrection and a judgment to come. But they intellectually, and I don't know why anyone would. Why would you go to church if you don't believe in the supernatural? If you don't believe there's a God we're going to meet? If you don't believe that, why would you go through the ritual of church? But Jesus says there's a teaching amongst the Pharisees you better be careful of.
Yes.
What is leaven? You put a little, and Margaret could tell you a whole lot better than I did, never touch leaven in my life. But you put a little bit of leaven in what you're baking and it goes through everything, it spreads. A little bit of leaven, it leavens everything, it affects everything.
Yeah.
Jesus has given them a warning. He also said about the Pharisees, beware of the Pharisees. You see, they had knowledge. He gave them knowledge. Now he's giving them understanding. He's explaining it. He's putting the facts together. He's bringing everything together. Let me give you understanding. Beware of the Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees say they literally believe the Bible. They believe every word of the Bible. They believe it from cover to cover. They believe in a resurrection. They believe in living holy. They believe in keeping the laws. But he said the Pharisees are blind to who Jesus Christ is. Their teaching on Christ is distorted. They reject the real person of Christ and the work of the cross. Their teaching is dangerous. And he's saying, take heed. Elsewhere in the parables of the different four different types of ground, Jesus says to his disciples, take heed how you hear. See, you can hear, but do you understand? You can hear facts and say, amen, intellectually I understand, I know that. Oh yeah, I know that. But do you understand it? That's the big difference. What is understanding? If understanding comes after knowledge, if having gained knowledge, we move to understanding what is understanding? Understanding is the correct ordering of the knowledge. It's actually bringing the knowledge together and putting it in its right place. We know that the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Christ's disciples all had knowledge. But how you bring it together, how you understand it, is absolutely vital. You see, understanding, and this is how you understand understanding. What is understanding? It's like a jigsaw. Each piece of that jigsaw is knowledge. It's portions of knowledge about God, about the Christian life, or about the church. That is knowledge. The individual parts of the jigsaw is you dipping into the scriptures, hearing sermons, all of this. That is the knowledge. You can have people who are gaining knowledge, but they haven't come to a clear understanding yet. But think of it like a jigsaw. As you begin to put all the bits of the jigsaw together in the right place, this bit fitted to this bit in its correct order. Never seen a kid that jammed the bits in. I will make it go in. It will fit. I'm determined. My wee niece sat with her in South Africa. I said, it doesn't go there. She said, yes, it does. Why argue? I'm not going to argue with her. She's determined to put it in there. She'll make it fit with her. And a lot of people do that. I will make the knowledge fit. You can say, but it doesn't fit. Oh, it does. They're wise in their own eyes. They're determined to make things fit together. But what is understand? It's when you bring the things of God, the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of the Bible together correctly. You rightly divide the scriptures. You know the difference between law and grace. You know the difference in all of these things. The Greek word for understanding. And this is what it means. I love the word pictures in these Greek and Hebrew words. It actually means two rivers coming together and flowing together. That's what understanding is. It's where you bring all the understanding in together and it flows as one river. And you go, now I understand. As you read the Bible, you've been reading it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Some things I'm only gaining knowledge on. Suddenly you go, now I understand. Or as you walk with God, suddenly you go, now I understand what He's doing in my life. I understand it. You can walk with God and not understand what He's doing in your life. But you suddenly, as all the facts come together, now I understand. Have you ever gone into something in your Christian life and you go, I don't understand this. I see all the facts. I know God is a faithful God. I know He's wise. I know He's good. I know He loves me. But I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand what He's doing in this. I don't understand what the purpose of it is. Then usually afterwards, a wee bit down the road, we look back and we go, now I understand. Now I see His hand. I had all the facts before, but I didn't put it together. I believed the same facts, but I put all the facts together. Now I know He was working all things together for good. That's what He was doing. Now I knew that scripture. I said I believed that scripture. I had knowledge of it. But it's something when you go, no, I understand. What are you doing? You're bringing everything together to flow together in harmony and unison. To understand is for the light to go on. To understand is for things to click into their correct place. You see, we gather facts. We must put all these things together. Job says in Job 28, verse 28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And notice this, to depart from evil is understanding. What is understand? What does it mean to understand? Or to have the understanding in Proverbs? It's to depart from evil. Oh, I understand a lot of things, but do you depart from evil? Oh, I understand the things of God. I understand about the church. Doesn't make you depart from evil. If nothing, your understanding is empty. It's religious. It's dead.
Amen.
Your understanding means nothing. Oh, I understand lots of things. I've gathered lots of facts together and I understand a lot. But does it make you depart from evil? See, the use of understanding in Proverbs always points you to depart from evil. If you then understand, depart from evil. You know, there's some things we don't fully understand. When we do understand, say, I'm going to obey him.
Yeah.
That is real spiritual understanding. And that's what we need. Solomon prayed in 1 Kings 3 and 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. What is understand? It is to have a heart where things are put together. We put all the facts together in our heart that we know what to do. It is having an understanding heart. We have clarity on truth and clarity about God. You can have such a heart, but it comes from God. Only God can give you an understanding heart. Again, it's not just knowing something or understand something intellectually. It's having a heart that understands the ways of God.
Yeah.
Proverbs 17 verse 27, it says, he that has knowledge, and notice this, listen carefully, he that has knowledge spareth his words. Oh, I thought he that had knowledge spouted out a lot. I thought he that had knowledge goes telling everybody. No, the Bible says he that hath knowledge spares his words. I'm going to tell you, I've noticed something. In many situations, the men who've known, I've watched situations. This man here really does know. And he's quiet. Someone over here knows very little and they're trying to tell everyone. I've seen it 10,000 times.
Amen.
The man who really has knowledge is slower to speak. But he goes further in this verse and he says, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That means he's invaluable. A man who has understanding of things, not just knowledge. To have knowledge is good. But to have understanding is a man of an excellent spirit. He's invaluable. You want him around. I want people in this church who have an understanding heart. They understand the ways of God. They're not complaining about God. They're not accusing God. Well, God done this. How dare you?
Amen.
We have an understanding heart. And that's what we want in this church. Lord, we want to understand your ways.
Yeah.
Not asking for a good life. Not asking to be made rich. Not asking for the death of my enemies. I'm asking for an understanding heart. That's what I'm looking for. And we want it in the church last of all. Comes wisdom. Notice here, you need knowledge. Upon knowledge comes understanding. If you don't have knowledge there, all the facts, you can't have understanding. You'll never understand. But once understanding comes, do we stop there? Do we stop with understanding? Is understanding the headstone of all things? No. Wisdom is. Understanding will lead you to wisdom. When you really understand, when you put all the facts together, when you've got a grasp of it, it's going to lead you forward into wisdom. We're told in Proverbs 4 verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, it's the most important thing, or the first thing, or the highest thing. Wisdom is far higher, further down the road, than knowledge or understanding. To be a wise man is better than to be an understanding man, or a knowledgeable man. In our world, knowledgeable men are thought of very highly. I'm going to tell you, knowledgeable men are at the bottom of the rung. It's wise men. There's lots of people with knowledge that don't know what to do with it. There's lots of people with knowledge they can't control their tongue.
Yes.
What's the point of having knowledge where it's only on the tongue? It means absolutely nothing. Wisdom is the principal thing. And listen, therefore get wisdom. Go get it. Above anything else, get wisdom. This is the reason why you're putting all the knowledge in. And this is the reason why you're gaining understanding. Where's this going to? To wisdom. This is how you gain wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to gain wisdom? Do you want to know how to gain wisdom? This is it. This is the mechanics. Some People sit in church all their life and they do love God and they do believe in Him and they are born again. But they never really have wisdom. They never move on to a place of wisdom in God. But you know what? I do want wisdom. I want to learn how to get wisdom. But the reason they sit in church and never progress is they don't understand the mechanics. They don't understand the building blocks or the process. They don't understand how it works. This is how gaining wisdom works. First comes facts, knowledge, then comes understand, then out of that comes wisdom. But Proverbs 4:7, it says, with all thy getting, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get wisdom. It means to acquire or to purchase it or to do whatever you can to obtain it. He says, whatever you do, use all the understanding to gain wisdom. Make sure you gather in and have understanding. Then wisdom will come. We're told in Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Are you pursuing after wisdom tonight? Do you want the wisdom of God? Do we want to be a wise church?
Yes.
Well, the Bible says it's much better than gold. Plenty of people in this city, they're after gold or some other similar thing. What is wisdom? Remember, we said we've gathered all the facts. We place all the facts together. We understand what comes next. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply the gathered knowledge. That's what wisdom is. In other words, you know what to do with the knowledge when you get it. Lots of people have gained knowledge that don't know what to do with it. Oh Lord, call me. Lord, do something in my life. Lord, give me something or show me something or answer me. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with it in your life? Lots of people ask for things. Lots of kids ask for toys. Should they throw it away after a couple of days, get bored with it? What are you going to do? What is wisdom? It's knowing what to do with that gathered knowledge and the understanding that puts it all together. Now I understand. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you understand God's dealings in your life?
Yeah.
What are you going to do when you understand the trials? Next comes wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply. It's the application of knowledge and understanding. It's taking the knowledge and the understanding and applying it correctly. Do you know how to apply the knowledge you have? Do you know how to apply the understanding? Do you know what to do with it? That is wisdom. The root Hebrew of wisdom, it actually means the palate of the mouth or the taste. In other words, you're testing things. You take it all in there, what you're going to eat, and you're testing it. You've got the ability, and that's what wisdom is. Wisdom knows what to do. Wisdom tests. Wisdom is actually the ability to judge everything correctly. That's why wisdom is a mark of maturity. White-haired men are meant to be wise men, aren't they? But it's not always true. Sometimes you get a young man, hasn't got a grey hair in his head. He can be wise beyond his years. What do we mean by that? They know how to judge. They test things. Oh, but you're not meant to judge. Yes, yeah, sure. The Bible says, Jesus says, the spiritual judge all things. Paul writing says, the spiritual judge all things. I'll judge what you say. I'll judge what you testify. You're meant to judge what I preach.
Amen.
You've got every right to judge every word that I preach in this pulpit. You're meant to test it. That's wisdom.
Yes.
Is it according to the Bible or is he just preaching a myth? Is he preaching something that's going to help me or is it going to destroy me? Is it going to lead me into God or lead me into the world? See, wisdom needs to be applied. Wisdom is the ability to judge. And not everyone can judge. Do you know, you can't judge until you have facts. Until you have all the facts, you can't judge. Foolish people gain a fact. I heard of a preacher once, or a person at church, they're driving along, they seen the preacher walk out of a pub, and he stumbled. They start telling everyone, saying, he's drinking. No, he went to the toilet. And another person in a church, and they said, that pastor, he's always on his phone. He's not worshipping the Lord, lifting his hands. He's not doing that. He's actually fiddling with his phone, emailing or doing something. No, he's looking up a scripture.
Amen.
on his sword. As scripture's quicker than his mind. You can judge and not have facts. Haven't we all done it? You need knowledge before you get wisdom. Then you need understand. Now I understand. Now I understand. Now I know what to do. See, wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge and having understanding. Wisdom is actually the ability to know what to do. Wisdom is the ability to know who to do it with. There's some people I won't be going mission trips with. There's some people I would not want as friends. That's wisdom. There's some people I don't mind talking to them in the street. I don't want them sitting in my home. And I've got lots of scriptures for it. To back it up and prove it. That is wisdom. See, I got a facts of what the Bible says. Or a bit of understanding. But wisdom is an action. I'm going to do something with wisdom. Wisdom enables me to act. It's also the knowledge of when to do. You ever had all the facts? Ever had understanding? And you're going, when do I do it? I've many times. And you know what I'm doing? I'm praying and saying, Lord, when do I do this? When do I act? When do I say this? Because I tell you what, if you got the wrong timing, it could blow up in your face. But if you get the right timing, it can make a life changed.
Hallelujah.
That's wisdom. And you know what? Wisdom is the ability to know what to do, when to do it, and who to do it to or with. That is wisdom. See how all these build together? First knowledge, then understanding. Then comes wisdom. We need wisdom. Understanding isn't enough. Understanding things, but what are you going to do with it? Understand needs to lead you on to have wisdom to know how to act. Ecclesiastes 7:12, it says, for wisdom is a defense. Look at it. If you have wisdom, you'll defend yourself. In other words, you'll have the ability to save yourself from enemies, deliver yourself from evil strategies of the enemy. If you're a wise man, the Bible speaks of about a wise little lady in a city, and she delivered the whole city by her wisdom. She was wise. She wasn't strong. She didn't have power. She didn't have great money. It was wisdom. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes, for wisdom is a defense. Wisdom can deliver you and protect you and guard you. But listen to the next part. It says, and money is a defense. Strange, isn't it? Like, wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. Strange verse. It says, but you say wisdom will defend you and protect you and deliver you. But sure, so will money. My money will defend me and protect me and guard me and get me through situations, and I'll bribe anyone who stands in the way anyway. Surely wisdom or money is as good as wisdom. It'll do the same. No, listen to the rest of the verse. We haven't got all the knowledge yet, do we? What's the rest of the verse? But the excellency of knowledge. In other words, this is wisdom with knowledge. The excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. You can have money and no life. But the wise man will have a real life. Amen. Let me close. Proverbs 23, verse 23. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Some people buy the truth. They pay a price for the truth. And then along the way, they start having questions. Don't sell it.
Amen.
Now that you've bought it, paid a price for it, don't let go of the truth. Don't swap the truth for a lie.
Yeah. Amen.
And it says, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. What? Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understand. Buy it all. Buy it all, saints. Let's stand together. Hallelujah.